What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Apologies for not pumping Plowmaster 43 a little earlier. I figure you've probably been behind the wheel a little bit of late. Is that ongoing?
I'm not following
the social media page. Is it snowing in Hamburg? So is it snowing in Hamburg?
No, it was. It was kind of a bit of a whiteout yesterday, early dismissal.
Well, no, I was there for that. I just didn't know
today. And today, early dismissal for the kids this afternoon as well. So I was plowing last night and this morning and getting a few things done. And it's nice, though. It's beautiful. I love it. Cold and snowy. And I know it's going to be cold for the Bills game Sunday, but that's Western New York. That's what I love. I love a cold winter that stays white and doesn't melt and get yucky everywhere. But anyway, Plowmaster was out and getting the job done, and it's been fantastic. So
how's the new plow?
Well, the plow's the same. The truck is doing great.
The duo. How's the new duo?
I got a snow Joe. Do you know what a snow Joe is?
Nope.
Okay, so you know how you got your like brush to brush the snow or whatever? Well, a snow Joe is an actual like kind of like foam block that just pushes the snow. It doesn't brush it. It just pushes it off your truck or whatever. I get my pickup truck, like the pickup bed, right? It was always like, oh, you got to brush it off. That thing is like 1, 2, 3 passes, the snow is gone. It's completely gone. And you can also use it on your roof. Like, you know, so some of those that have the tin roof or the copper roof, you got to remove some of the snow. The Snow Joe is no joke. I'm telling you. I'm doing an infomercial on the Snow Joe right now, preparing for my second and third career.
Is that one of those made-for-TV sales things? Like, is it a television exclusive?
Yeah, and it also extends. It's like the Snow Joe extends in the
middle.
And
if you order right now, you'll get a second one?
Second from $19.99, the second one. And shipping is free if you order
it should be.
Third
it's coming
one.
From Grand Island, New York, Marty.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, it shouldn't cost that much.
So the Snow Joe is something that I've seen a few people with them, and I was like, I don't know about this. And then, this
could be the least surprising development in our conversation today. The fact that you are all in on every possible snow removal technique, and you are like, you genuinely come across with the excitement of getting this gift as if you were a 10-year-old on Christmas, right?
Well, like, yes, the little things in life that really bring the joy in my everyday occurrence. Yes,
this is why people love being around you. It wasn't intended to be this way, but you did say before the break, like, you want to talk about the mental side of the game. And without saying it and stating the obvious, it's hard as an athlete to stay in the right place through this. Look, last night we did a Blue and Gold Insights.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Season ticket members at the arena. Think about what it was like last night. It was crappy, blustery, awful, right? We still had a great turnout, caring people that were listening intently to the words of three still very, very, very young NHL players. Bo Byram, Zach Benson, and Jack Quinn.
Wow.
Bo conducts himself, despite being just over 200 games in his NHL career. He won't say this. He wouldn't even think this. But I think he conducts himself like a 30-year-old. Mm. Like, his presence and comfort and willingness to be kind of the leader of the trio that was up on stage with me last night was so impressive. He didn't hide from the reality of where the team is at and what they've gone through. And there were multiple times where he stressed how fortunate anyone is to be in the position of being a player in the NHL.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, it's not easy. Not easy to say that based on what they're still trying to attain in the standings and how they're trying to be on a daily basis. So I think that probably fits nicely into a little bit of where you want to go here for this group from the mental side of it.
Now, and it's important to point that out. And there's some players that obviously are going to handle it and learn the tools of the mental side of the game and the maturity that you need to put in to play in the NHL or any field, right? Any job. Like if you get higher and more successful and more responsibilities, there's maturity, there's experience that has to come into play. Mm-hmm. But there's people that will never get there. I had a player with the Rangers. He was so talented. And we brought in a couple of veterans and experienced veterans. And one of those experienced veterans was Brad Richards. And Richie was trying to help this player out. I won't name name, but, it was trying to. And this player, during a Road to the Winter Classic interview, it was on HBO. It was for everybody to see. He said, well, I learned something this year from Brad Richards. I learned that sometimes you may think one way, but you have to show maturity, even though you may not believe it. And it was like, that's not what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you, you have to believe the maturity has to take over. You have to change the way you're thinking. Like, it was so funny. That player was like, you have to put the front like you're mature, but really, like, it was like, no, that's not what I'm trying. So that player never got it, right? It never understood what needed to be taken. Now, here's how I talk to my kids all the time about this. Are you going to make mistakes in life, in sports, in whatever? Yes, you are. Failing is a part of growing. Failing is a part of learning. But if you don't learn the lessons, then you're not growing. You're not maturing. You're making the same mistakes over and over again. There's people that they got to where they are now by having success and having skill level that are better than everybody else. But now, how do you separate yourself from where you are to where you want to be is the mistakes that you make and you stop making them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I remember years ago, Lindy Ruff was so mad at Chris Gratton, always talking to Gratz about how he could be a point-a-game player, he could be a 40-goal scorer, but what made the difference between Chris Gratton being a point-a-game and 40 goals and what Chris Gratton ended up being, which was still pretty good but not fully attaining his potential, was the mistakes, and it wasn't physical mistakes. The guy was a physical specimen. It was the mental mistakes. And being able to handle that, being able to learn, being able to go watch film and process what is going on. Because the way the game is played in your head, it's almost like a video game. It's almost like you watch it, you get back to the bench, you see it on the screen, and you're like, oh, this is the play I can make. And on the ice, it happens so fast, but you have to have seen it. You have to process it. You have to get mature. And that's the level where Lindy's trying to get them to. And right now, it has been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's not, if you have one or two guys that mentally are going to struggle and make mistakes, that's fine. But when you have four, five, six on any given nights that go through that, that's where it's hard. And that's the challenge to get over that now. And this year has been a very, very tough to handle it on that side.
Yeah, indisputable on that. And obviously they're well aware of it. And now the hope is that they come out of the shoot after a little bit of time off here against Carolina. Get back in the win column, close out the homestand with a couple of wins. Carolina tomorrow, Pittsburgh on Friday, before embarking for a 4-game and 6-day trip next week. Now, there were some incredibly exciting sports moments over the course of the weekend, highlighted, of course, by Sunday's Bills playoff win. Yes. But the two-time defending National Lacrosse League champion Buffalo Bandits and six-time champion overall remain undefeated, and this was some kind of game. Marty, I was there in Banditland, but then the next day I rewatched the entire game, and I'm not kidding you, there were moments on the rewatch where I was like, I don't know if they're going to pull this out.
Yeah. It was very tight.
It was amazing. Anyway, they're down with less than 75 seconds to go. Chase Fraser ties it. And then the unexpected development of Nick Weiss scoring the winner. Now, Nick has, in limited goal scoring, had some enormous goals in the course of his career. But this, I mean, Marty, they led for less than 5 minutes in this game up until this moment. And this was a last-minute go-ahead goal by Nick Weiss. They would get a huge save from Matt Vince on the following possession and then seal it with the Dane Smith empty netter. So they defeat Toronto 15-13. This Saturday night, Banditland comes alive again with a matchup of the two best teams in the league. Philadelphia has won four in a row. They are 4-1 on the season, and they're taking on the unbeaten Bandits on Saturday night. Can't wait to be there for that. And can't wait to see what Ian MacKay is able to do, I would say for an encore, but this might be a surprising development for some. Ian MacKay is leading the Bandits in goal scoring this year. Mm-hmm. He has 2 5-goal games to his credit. And when we just talked everything we talked about from an athlete standpoint and preparation and overcoming mental hurdles and challenges, last week was such a hard week for Ian. He lost his stepfather, Steve. He was very open about Steve's presence in his life on social media. Driving to the rink for the Friday game, he had Steve's cap on his dashboard, and he posted that on Instagram. Yep. He went out and matched his career high with 5 goals, set a career high with 8 points. He was the MVP of the Bandits game against Toronto. It was so impressive to watch, and I'm so happy for a guy that we've gotten to know a little bit in our dealings with the Bandits over the years. He's just an incredibly impressive athlete and person.
And you know that the Bandits in that locker room and that team wanted to support him and wanted to give him all the chances that he could to have this amazing game, right? And that's the thing with Banditlands, as they've helped one another and supported one another, and that's why they're winners, right? That's why they've won a couple of championships in a row, and they're fun to watch, and you can sense the love every time they're on the floor together. It was a physical game against Toronto. Fights and arguing, but they stuck together, and that was fun. Because you're my lacrosse expert, I always, and the way that the Bandits scored their winning goal on a rush, right? They ran the floor. Very, very few times do you see that happening. You run the floor, and then you get to a certain point in transition where everybody stops, everybody slows down because everybody's changing. Mm-hmm. But has it happened more late in games where you take that chance late in game to score on the rush? Because that's how they scored their 14th goal. That was the game-winning goal. And I fully expected them to retreat and be like, okay, we're going to set up our offense. But they went and challenged it on the rush and scored that way.
That one's really hard to answer, but it seems like
you get a breakaway, but then they pull up.
Well, this is the thing. I would need to hear not so much Priolo, who had an incredible loose ball recovery to start that transition.
Yeah.
That's kind of the norm in a situation like that. And then, like you say, once you get down the floor, you may look at making sure the ball is going to get into the hands of Dane, Josh, Deoka,
Ian,
et cetera, right? But what happened on this play, which is why I think Weiss knew that he was green lighting himself and was probably getting the green light from the bench in that situation, was because there was star power already on the floor. And Toronto defended it like, we're going to take away Josh and not let this pass happen.
Yeah.
And once Nick knew that, he absolutely went for it, he looked the part, obviously, with that finishing play. It was really impressive. And again, you know this from living in a moment. The building was going bonkers because Fraser had just tied it less than 30 seconds earlier. So you feel things as a player in a surge of being able to attack a game a different way, right? In a moment. And Nick has been around a long time, is a leader in Bandit land, and knew exactly what he was doing.
Well, it worked out for the Bandits. It was fun to watch. It was amazing.
It was so amazing.
And I'll tell you this. Yeah, try to be in person because lacrosse in person is fantastic. But the production value and the way that they're showing it on TV now is you can sense the excitement, especially when they're in Banditland.
Indeed, they're 4-0. They get Philly on Saturday. We're back after this on Sabres Live.